split state. The eastern half of North Carolina is about as sorry as anywhere else. The western part of North Carolina, from Winston-Salem on down, or Greensboro on down that way, they're liberal. They're the churches mostly, for the most part, are dead. It's not like this side of North Carolina, the mountain. Now, as when I travel, I meet people and they say, "Man, I thought North Carolina was supposed to be in the Bible Belt and everything's supposed to be wonderful." I said, "That's on our half. That other half is what messed up. That's why our taxes are high. That's why we have gas prices so high. That's why we have to have our cars inspected. All kind of dumb things like that. And South Carolina don't have." So, but anyway, let's pray that Western North Carolina might prevail, not count Nashville. Asheville's been transplanted. But anyway, well, something Andy got for me here that I'm going to read to you. If we take just a second, you'll listen to this because you're going to hear it on the news tomorrow and you're going to hear it at work tomorrow. Myth. The amendment isn't necessary. Fact. Unless North Carolina passes the Marriage Protection Amendment, that very top button might need to go down ahead, tire brother. Our present marriage laws are vulnerable to politicians and activist judges overturning them and imposing same-sex marriages here. This is what occurred in New York, New Hampshire, California, Massachusetts, Iowa, District of Columbia, Vermont, and Connecticut. Already, lawsuits have been filed in North Carolina to invalidate our marriage laws. We need the amendment to ensure that lawsuits like this are not successful. The second myth, the amendment is just big more government telling people how to live their private lives. Fact, the amendment will prevent government from redefining marriage for us without our input or our vote. Marriage has a definition that predates government, and the amendment will ensure that government, either through an activist judge or legislative action, cannot redefine marriage. Once the amendment passes, only another vote of the people of North Carolina can change the definition of marriage. That's how important it is. The only way it can ever be changed is the people of North Carolina vote to change it. And myth. Marriage is simply about loving couples making a public commitment of their love. That's a myth. The fact is, marriage provides an opportunity for a couple in love to declare their commitment to each other, but the government does not regulate marriage to provide a forum for public commitment simply because two people love each other. Marriage is unique because it is the social institution we recognize to channel the biological drive of men and women with its inherent capacity. All that is a nice way of saying you have a sexual drive in you, and it's just like fire in a fireplace. Fire in the fireplace is fine. Fire getting out in the living room, burn your house down. A fire in the fireplace is fine. As long as the fire is kept in the fireplace, you're okay. Outside of the fireplace, burns your house down. All right? The next myth. Let's see. I'll skip some of these. Let's see. This is a myth. The measure contains vague language that could have profound unforeseen consequences. Fact. The amendment is two sentences and easy to read and understand. It means simply that marriage will continue to only be between one man and one woman, and that private parties can enter into enforceable contracts with other private parties. That's all it means, okay, without it being a marriage. All right, so keep these things in mind. You're going to be hit with this tomorrow at work, and everybody's going to be fussing about it. And they'll put commercials on TV having this little girl making you feel sorry for her about her. She can't have no insurance and she's going to die and it's your fault and stuff like that. That's a bunch of bull. Amen. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Lord, take care of all the little kids. All right, let's stand.
And I do want to say, don't forget Wednesday night. Come bring somebody with you. Also, Saturday morning, we're going visiting at 9:30. You can't say it's too cold now. It's perfect weather, so come and go with us. We need help. All bus workers need help. Encouraging. So come and go with us Saturday morning. 1 Timothy, tonight, chapter 4. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, I just want to show you a verse of Scripture. This epistle was the last book the Apostle Paul wrote before they cut his head off, and what he told them here to do before he left was to hang in there, keep believing, keep preaching, don't give up. First, 2 Timothy, I'm going to look at 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he told them to do this. And then I want to bring you a little thought tonight. It won't be long, just a little thought. Amen. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Mike, if you'll watch me here for a minute, I appreciate it. Get me up just a little bit. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing, rapture, and His kingdom, millennium. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Brethren, are we there or are we there? Amen. Great. Day in the morning. We are in a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What a way to phrase that. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Lord have mercy, what a passage of Scripture tonight. He said in verse 4, they would turn their ears away from the truth and would be turned unto fables. Man, I've seen that happen just in the last few years. I remember talking about this marriage amendment thing that we're going to see happen Tuesday. Give me up just a hair, Brother Mike. Tuesday. And I remember a time that a bunch of us went to preach in Asheville at Bellshare. And we went up there to preach. And this has been, good night, this has been 13 years ago. And that's a lot worse now than it was then. And we went up there, and the streets of Asheville were literally covered with tens of thousands of people. And most people had a beer in their hand and were walking up and down the street. We took about 15 or 20 teenagers and took a guitar, and we were all standing around like this. We'd give out tracts and we'd start singing. And buddy, they had this group, they had a rock group, they had country, they had weirdos, they had hippies sitting around, they had guys playing instruments and stuff, and everybody just thought, wow man, this is all cool. But there was something different about us. I don't know if we smelled bad, I don't know if we, but they could tell immediately that we was a completely different spirit and outfit than what they was. Isn't it amazing how that the world can recognize immediately, there's an intruder here. These people don't fit in. We was over there giving out tracts. Oh, it was awful. And I mean to tell you, it got bad. And we was in there, and Carrie and Todd went. You went, didn't you? I know Todd did. We was over there. This guy came up, and he thought he'd be a smart aleck. And he's on this big old Harley. And he got right in front of us. And like we was standing right here. And he just went, whang! You know how they do. I get right there. And the guy was preaching. You couldn't hear a word he was saying. And the guy just kept going. Wah, wah. So Todd reaches over. He knows where the kill switch is. And just went, think, and killed that motorcycle. And man, that guy got mad and wanted to fight. And he said, don't you touch my motorcycle. And you know, our boys, they was saved. But they was had enough redneck still left in them. That they was ready to, get something started right there. I thought it was funny myself. And he went on, you know. And then these guys came out. I reckon there's guys. I don't know what they was. They was really, 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 really sissy looking guys. I mean, really. I mean, I can't even act as sissy as they was. I mean, I can do that a little bit, but not like they were. You could tell. These guys, and they were standing right here behind us like this. And somebody turned around and give them a track like this. And, like, and one of them said, "Wow, some of those Christian guys are cute." And I said, let's go. And we witnessed somebody else. I said, "I ain't fooling with them, man. I don't want to be around them." And we went on down the street. Then this guy, this honest truth, and this has been a long time ago, this guy came out, and bless his heart, I shouldn't laugh about it, but he had on a green, like a fairy suit. And it had like a little dress, I mean, that you could see through, and it come way out around right here, and green leotards. Green, real tight leotards, and green, he was a fairy. Literally, a fairy. And he come up going like this, you know, like his twinkle toes down there. I said, "Boys, I'm telling you what, we are in the wrong pew." I said, I'm telling you, it's getting too bad for me. It's getting bad. This is in Asheville. This ain't San Francisco. This was in Asheville, brother. And we sang and they cussed over there this past year. There was a man out there preaching and they spit on him and threw beer on the preacher. Threw beer on him. If the preachers had threw beer on the homosexual, it would have been on the Asheville News that night and may have been charged with a hate crime. That shows you how bad this world is. He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You say, "Well, preacher, I go to work and I tell them people and they won't listen to me." The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You say, "Brother Danny, I try to witness to them and they just laugh at me." The time has come that they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, I want to say there's just a few things we better stick with here tonight. And once in a while, you have to do this. You ever go out on your porch? Sometimes you ever have a deck and you go out there about every year where it's been cold and hot and cold and hot, and some of the nails are pulled up a little bit, and you just have to take a hammer and go bang, bang, and beat them back down in there. That's what the preacher has to do every now and then. Just nail it down a little bit and just make sure we stay tight and put together right. And that's what I want to do tonight. Just say a few things about it. Won't be long. Just a couple of things. We better stick with tonight our Christ-centered services. We better stick with our Christ-centered services. Too many churches tonight are going the wrong way in their worship. Now I want to say tonight, emphatically, for sure, this is a church. This is a Bible-believing church. We are not ashamed to be called a church. Matter of fact, we're proud to be identified and be called a church. We are not going to be called a worship center. Jesus did not die for a worship center. Worship centers are not scriptural, and this is a church. The church, a called out assembly. You got too many of these groups want to be cool today and are just a little bit embarrassed by that word church. Sounds a little bit too religious. It sounds just a little bit too, I don't know, a little bit too fanatical or something like that. And it sounds a little bit too, just a little bit overboard. Buddy, I don't ever want to be ashamed to be identified with a church. I'm telling you, the church tonight is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for the church. He's coming back after the church. When the Lord comes, He's coming after the church. He ain't coming after a lodge. He ain't coming after a worship center. He's coming after the church, those that are born again. We, ladies and gentlemen, not ashamed to be called a church. We need to keep our Christ-centered church services. That means three things. We're going to keep praying, we're going to keep praising, and we're going to keep preaching. We're not going to move the pulpit out and have a drama every Sunday. We're going to have the preaching of the Word of God. Listen, people, the Lord said that by the foolishness of preaching, election. God chose to save them that believe. A lot of churches today, there's very few churches today that are being built on the preaching of the Word of God. Most of them that are growing, it's either healing or fancy music and drums and guitars, just make everybody feel, you know, and get into all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you what this church is going to be built on. It's going to be built on the preaching of a King James Bible. And well, if that don't get the job done, that other stuff sure ain't going to get it done. It was the preaching of that book that got me straightened out. It was the preaching of that book that got you straightened out. And it'll be the preaching of this book that'll help your kids stay right and know the truth, and not a feel-good swaying worship service where there's no conviction. I seen one on TV the other day, and I try to be open-minded. I don't want to be intolerant. I don't think everybody has to do exactly like I do. But I seen one on TV the other day, and it's all this stuff of all this standard. You are worthy. You are worthy, oh God. You are worthy, oh God. It's just a weird spirit, man. That's just a weird spirit. And hallelujah, hallelujah. He is worthy. Hallelujah. There's something about, you don't see nobody crying. You don't see nobody repenting. You don't see nobody hitting the altar and saying, I'm not going to do that no more. Listen, you know what I've heard? I've heard of two groups in the last few days. Two groups just in the last few days that said this. One, I got a text last night from a preacher in South Carolina who said, preacher, we enjoyed the youth rally. Tomorrow night, which is tonight, they're going to have a burn-in. They said, we're going to have a burn-in. How long's it been since you heard of that? Them worship centers don't produce young people burn-ins. I'm telling you, they said, we're going to get all them old satanic rock music and all them rap music, and we're going to burn them. Amen. I thought, Lord, have mercy. This church in South Carolina hears it one time and burns them. You people at Shining Light hear it all the time. Still listen to yours. You're really going to answer to God. But anyway, amen. Amen. Say amen. You ain't got no business listening to dirty rap music. You ain't got no business liking dirty, dirty, nasty rap music and rock music. Ladies and gentlemen, they said we're going to burn it. We're going to burn it. That's what kind of results Bible preaching presumes. And results. It don't produce an effeminate type of sissified Christianity where there's no difference in them in the world. It makes a difference in people's lives. Amen. We can't lose that. We've got to have it. We've got to have it. We've got to have praising. Real Bible praise. I heard a guy on radio, on TV, and he said, we had this meeting. He said it was just an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He said, I looked over there and there was a young person on their back getting the Holy Ghost. And I looked over there and there was another young person on their back getting the Holy Ghost. And I looked over there and there was another young people on a person on his back. And I just thought, this is revival. And I was thinking the whole time, there ain't nowhere in the Bible where anybody fell on their back and got the Holy Ghost. You say, well, why do you want to be so nitpicky? Because we believe the Bible, and everybody in the Bible who worshiped the Lord worshiped Him with their face to the ground and honored Him. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a false spirit going around this world tonight. It is a false spirit, and you better watch it. They have itching ears, itching ears. Ladies and gentlemen, we better keep our old-fashioned praise and worship. I mean, look, if a man walked up to my house, here's all you got to do to find out what's right. A man walked up to my house tonight and knocked on my door and said, are you Danny Castle? Yes, sir, I am. He said, I'm from so-and-so, so-and-so, and you have a dead relative in West Virginia, and they left you $1 million. Here's your claim to it. All you got to do is go to the bank in West Virginia and claim $1 million. Do you think I'd do like this? Thank you. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm thinking, brother, I don't think I'd do that. You think I'd go, thank you, sir. You know what I'd do? I'd say, woo-hoo, glory, woo, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. That's what I'd do. I'd do act normal. The same way I do in church when I think about being saved, not going to hell. Amen? I do the same thing. I mean, listen, old Dax over there, Carrie said he'd been playing basketball. He's seeing the light since his daddy had that wreck. Amen. She said, Dax's been playing basketball. And boy, he was up there shooting that basketball. And listen, if he become a basketball player, and I saw him maneuver through there and run between the legs and do a layup, do you think I'd go, where'd it go, Dax? Dax, hallelujah. I'm not trying to be ugly, people. I'm not trying to listen. That's not natural. That don't come natural. That somebody's taught you how to do that. You know what I'd do? I'd say, that boy, give him a hard time. Amen. Woo! That's what I'd do. I'd say, atta boy, amen, hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to keep our worship. We've got to keep our preaching. We've got to keep our praying. And we've got to keep our praising. We had that all in that prayer meeting that night. That's absolutely unheard of anymore. I'm not saying that because we're better than anybody else. We're worse than most. Can anybody tell me any church anywhere that you've heard of in the last 5 years had an all-night prayer meeting? Anybody? They don't do it no more. They just don't do it no more. We'll hallelujah him in here. We don't have to have no all-night prayer meeting. We'll get them drums loud enough, turn that music up. We don't need no all-night prayer meeting. I'm gonna get Miss Desi to learn how to do like they do on TV. She'll get on the organ over here and I'll say, good to be here. And she'll go, good to see all of you here. No, no, no. Woo! The Lord's coming soon. No, no, no. He's coming. No, no, no. He's coming. No, no, no. He's coming. No, no, no. No, no, no. No, no, no. And everybody going like that. And everybody going, na, 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 na. That ain't it, people. That ain't it. That's whooped up in the flesh. That's what that is. That's whooped up in the flesh. We are to praise the Lord biblically with hands raised, with amens, with hallelujah, just like they did in the Word of God. If you took the drums out of a lot of churches, they couldn't have no worship service. And there's two instruments that you just about can't make spiritual. One of them's drums and the other's saxophone. Them two instruments just can't hardly glorify God. They can, but it's hard. I mean, can you see in heaven Kenny G up there? It's hard to make them things glorify God, brother. And drums too. If you can do them like this. You can do it like that. But when you do this, you're getting off. And then when you do this, I've heard this in a church the other night. They got up and they went, I love Him. I love the Lord. You done crossed over into another. Can't you tell the difference in that? Yes, you sure can. Immediately, that starts appealing to your flesh and your lost nature or your sinful nature. We better keep it. I tell you something else we better keep. We better keep our contract. We better keep our contract. That means our time, our talents, and our tithe. I said we better keep our worship services, our praise, our preaching, and our praying. Now I said we better keep our contract, our time, our talent, and our tithe. God wants our time, God wants our talent, and God, some nut come out a long time ago and they said, don't you think we should tithe our time? And don't you think that's what God really meant? You give a tenth of your, and they had it all figured out. It was so many hours a week was one tenth of your time. That's ridiculous. The Lord has all our time. We're supposed to never say, all right, God, this ain't your time. This is my time. Never. God owns all of our time. God owns all of our money. It's not like, He's supposed to be in charge of all of it. We're supposed to give Him our time. We're supposed to give Him our talent. And we're supposed to give Him our tithe. Them three things. Now, Our time. We're supposed to give God a little time. That don't mean you're supposed to live for yourself half time, Lord half time. That means it's like this. See if you can understand this. You should be you should witness sometime all the time, and all the time some of the time. Okay, you didn't get that. I can tell by looking at you. You're supposed to witness all the time, some of the time, and some of the time, all the time. Can you understand this? What that means is, I'm supposed to give some time to the Lord when all I do is witness, and like Saturday morning bus route. I'm supposed to witness all the time, some of the time. But I'm supposed to witness some of the time, all the time. Work, travel, ball game, school, wherever you are, have it on TV time. I witnessed a guy the other night. We played that ball game the other night. It was the last one, and they played in the old men's league over there at the Rec Morgan. And I hate playing them old men. Man, they're rough. Anyway, I sat down and talked to this guy after the game. After the game, and I said, all you guys go to church Sunday now. And these were guys up in their 40s. And I said, every one of y'all go to church Sunday now and everything. And one of them said, yeah. Yeah, we're here. And one of them said, I am a follower of the Honorable Reverend Louis Farrakhan. I said, oh, come on, you are not. He said, I am too. I said, Louis Farrakhan, he's a nut. I started, and boy, he got mad, and he started saying, Louis Farrakhan has showed the great, and he showed the black man how to do this, and Martin Luther King never did this. And I said, listen, brother. I said, listen, Jesus is the way through. He said, Jesus never said he was Son of God. Jesus never was, did say he's the Son of God, did he? And I said, no, he didn't say it, but the Holy Ghost said it, and everybody else, and he didn't rebuke them when they did say it. And he said, see there, he said, now if I brought a picture, you wouldn't hang it in your church. Me and him got into it for 10 minutes. And I started saying, brother, Jesus is the way. Listen, I'm just because I was at a ball game, don't mean I'm not supposed to win. I'm supposed to witness some of the time, all the time. I was supposed to tell the guy at the grocery store, here you go, son, read that. God loves you. The guy at the Mexican restaurant up here you go, the Lord loves you. I told somebody, one of them weird people in one of them stores, I said, the Lord loves you. And he looked at me like, I said, the Lord, Jesus, he loves you. I don't know if you ever got it or not, man. I don't know. I wanted to say, learn English. But anyway, I was trying to be a witness some of the time, all the time. Then we come out here on Saturday morning, we're going to witness all the time, some of the time. You understand? Give God your time. Let me say to our bus workers this evening, bus workers, every one of you bus workers, hear me. Hear me loud. Hear me clear. Everybody that's in the bus ministry, and you that have dropped out that need to be back in, and you that you think, oh boy, I got out of it because they're doing my job now. No, sir, brother, no, sir. Listen, God put that in your heart. Don't you give up. Don't you slow up. I know it's getting summertime. I know the devil tries to get you discouraged. I know, but boy, glory to God, you've not on that door, you tell them little boys and girls, you are doing the greatest mission work of any work in America as bus workers, faithful bus workers, bus drivers. Say, glory to God, I'm going to get on my bus route. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it grow. I'm going to see God bless it. I'm going to fill it full. You say, well, I've lost a lot of bus kids, Brother Danny. Same way it is in pastor church. You lose some falls out, some falls in, some gets mad, some blows out. You just got to keep going, keep going. He said, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Let me say to every bus worker here tonight, get you a big deep breath, pray all week long, Saturday morning grab you a handful of tracks and then say, hallelujah, I'm your bus worker, I'm here to visit you this Saturday. You know them bus kids, they get used to you coming, and if you don't come, they're disappointed. I had some tell me not long ago, where's so and so? They ain't been by to see me lately. Listen, you witness with your time and then give God your talent. You say, I ain't got no talent, preacher. Yeah, you got some talent. Don't give up your Sunday school class. Don't give up. Don't you dare think, well, these little old kids, they ain't listening, and I'll try to make them behave, and they won't behave, and the devil say, you ain't getting paid for this. Why don't you just quit? I'll tell you why you don't quit. Because God gave you that job, and God gave you the opportunity to be an influence on little boys and little girls. You ladies that do the Wednesday night class, you men that work in the junior church and pray, you have no idea what kind of influence you can have on a boy or a girl. When they grow up, they'll say, I remember my Sunday school teacher. Woo! I remember my preacher used to say this. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the greatest opportunity in the world to influence a bunch of kids. Somebody told me the other day, I don't even remember who it was. I can't remember who it was. I was talking to them yesterday, I believe. And they said, boy, We wanted to find a church. Oh, I know, somebody visited here. They said, we wanted to find a church where I could bring my little boy, where they do something with kids, and y'all sure got a lot of kids here. I said, amen. This church, the kids do a lot with the old people. amen. They let us get a word in every now and then. Don't give up on your Sunday school class. Don't give up on your bus route. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your marriage. Brother Derek said it good this morning. We're all for the marriage amendment. We believe in protecting marriage. One of the greatest things you can do is protect your own marriage. I know sometimes things happen. I know sometimes a mate will desert you. I understand that. If you're deserted, ain't nothing you can do about it. All you got to do is turn the page and go on and do the best you can. But don't throw away your marriage for no reason at all. Don't just throw it away. Fight for it. It's worth it to fight for it to save your marriage. Don't give up on your church. Give God your time, your talent, and your tithe. I don't care how high gas gets, God stays at 10%. And God is able to take your 90% and bless it and stretch it more than 100% when you're holding back on Him. I'm telling you, I've been doing it ever since I've been saved. You know how you can tell you're backsliding? The first way you can tell you're backsliding is you start wanting to hold back on that money. You start thinking, God, that's a lot of money. Ugh. One guy tithed real good when he was making $300 a week, you know, just was only $30. And then he started making $1,000 a week. And he said, man, that's $100 a week, Brother Danny. That's a lot of money. He said, I can't do that. And I said, well, I guess we'll pray you can go back down to 300 where you can afford it. You stingy thing, if God's letting you keep 900 and giving you help, you better bless Him, bless that church with that other one. Amen? Now I'm going to say this and I'm done. I'll let you go. We've had a long day today. Good things happen. We need to stay with our character. What we follow. On this marriage amendment thing, just like anything else, we view it through the Bible. A Christian's attitude is not, what do you think? What do you think? Here's what I think. Our first thing is the Bible. Lord willing, you'll hear the message this morning on the radio tomorrow and Tuesday for the vote. I'm taking the message this morning and I'm putting it on Morgan and Radio. Be on our 11:15 tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning about this thing, about the foundation being destroyed that I preached this morning. And a Christian is supposed to first say, what does the Bible say? Now, if the Bible don't say nothing, we're allowed to have an opinion. Our conscience is bound by the Word of God. We don't have a right to believe or preach or say or agree with anything that disagrees with the Bible. Whatever the Bible said, we go along with. We follow the Bible. That's what a Christian does. You say, well, don't you have a mind of your own? Yeah, and our mind chooses to follow the Bible because it's a lot smarter than we are. And God knows what He's talking about. You choose to follow something else, you're following a man. People say, well, man wrote the Bible. Well, men wrote evolution books too. Men wrote Darwin. They can't accuse us of that. I'm telling you, we follow the book. We follow the book. Okay? All right. Let's stand. Stand for a word of prayer.